Well, over in Congress this morning, House Republicans strategized on how to repeal the Affordable Care Act, which is expected to be a flashpoint in lawmaker town halls next week. House Speaker Paul Ryan said that Republicans will soon introduce a bill to repeal and replace Obamacare, which, in his words, is collapsing.
On Tuesday, another major insurance company announced that it too, will leave the marketplace. In its decision, Humana cited a lack of young people signing up, a problem that has dogged Obamacare for years now. In many areas, Humana is the only carrier left, so this will mean even more instability.
Also this week, the Trump administration issued its first Obamacare regulations, including restricting sign-up on the exchanges for individual health insurance plans. Sarah Cliff is the senior editor at Vox.com. She covers health policy. It's good to talk with you, Sarah.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
First of all, let's fact check what House Speaker Ryan just said in that tape there, that Humana is leaving the marketplace in areas, and because, in his words, a lot of young people aren't signing up. Is that true?
Yeah, that is basically what Humana was saying, that they are, what they said, it's just kind of wonky, is they said the risk pool isn't good, which is essentially insurance speak for saying there are too many sick people, not enough healthy people. I don't think the consequences are quite as devastating as Speaker Ryan says. We do now have 16 counties in Tennessee where Humana was the only carrier. Those counties currently have no one signed up to sell in 2018. So it's problematic. It's not the end of the world for the ACA marketplaces, but it certainly poses some challenges, especially if others kind of see this as a signal to pull out as well.
I see. Now, in all the news that's been going on, it might actually be a surprise to some people that the Trump administration did issue some regulations about Obamacare this week. So let's take a look at some of these new rules. One of them makes the sign-up window for health plans shorter from 90 days down to 45 days. Now, why would that be something that the administration wants?
So I think they want like a little more predictable of a group in the marketplace. And this is something insurance companies, you know, have generally clamored for. They want more predictability. They want to know who is signing up. I think that it is actually possible this might backfire, that only the really motivated, sicker people will sign up in that 45-day window. So we don't really know how that'll play out. But the experts I've talked to, they actually think this will create a more predictable market because you have a shorter sign-up period and you will know very quickly who has signed up. But one of the risks is that you could actually have a sicker population in the marketplace.
I see. And so then that leads us to this other new rule about restricting when people can sign up outside of open enrollment. So What effect would that have?
Yeah, so one thing insurance carriers I talk to all the time have been really worried that there are these special enrollment periods, like when you get a new job or you move to a different state, that you can sign up outside of open enrollment. Insurance companies have been worried for years now that people are gaming these special enrollment periods, that they're signing when they don't move or when they don't lose a job. And they were able to do this because you only have to submit your documentation after you use the change and you get signed up for insurance. So what this change does is it says, if you want to use one of these special enrollment periods, you have to provide proof first that you qualify. And I think insurance companies, they think that this will weed out anyone who's been gaming these enrollment periods, and it'll get rid of people who might be signing up just because they got really sick, not because they actually had a change in their life status.
I see. There's one other change I want to talk with you briefly about, and that's one that could affect the amount of subsidies that people receive, qualified folks receive to even afford their health insurance?
Yeah, it's a little complex how this works, but at the end of the day, they're proposing some changes that will affect the size of the premiums in the Affordable Care Act, and that will possibly have the good effect of reducing premiums a little bit. The kind of unintended negative consequence is that the size of the subsidies are tethered to the cost of a mid-level plan on the marketplaces. So if you reduce the premiums, you also reduce the size of the subsidies. So there's a bit of a worry from consumer advocates that you could have this unintended consequence if people are getting less financial help to buy their health insurance.
I see. So we've got just under a minute to go, Sarah. Can we read anything about what effect these new regulations might have on House Republicans' move to repeal and replace Obamacare? Or are they not related at all?
It seems like they're not going to move the needle much in either way. I think these are some of the smaller changes health insurers wanted. But the experts I've talked to said it's not a big enough change to kind of convince people who are going to leave to stay or to change anyone's decision. I think, honestly, what insurance companies really want, they want more money. They want to be told, if we're going to lose a lot of money, the government's going to backstop us in a way. And the Trump administration hasn't gone that far. So I don't think it moves the needle much, and really will come to a really important moment in about a few months, yeah, in April or May, when insurers have to decide if they want to sell in 2018. And we'll see what they do.
Sarah Cliff, senior editor at Vox. Thanks so much, Sarah.
Thank you.